Mason and I are in the Ramona Shelburne filling in for Mace, and we're lucky we get a chance now to talk to Jay Billis about all the great stuff that happened this week in the NCAA tournament. The tournament is still going on as we speak. UCLA is up 31-19 with about 20 seconds left in the first half, but Jay, nice enough to join us now. And Jay, is it just me, or was that, I mean, I know there's upsets in the tournament every year. I'm the same age as you. I can't remember that many upsets all in the same weekend. Can you?
Well, I don't know that we've had. There have been a couple of things that we haven't seen before. I think it's the number of double-digit seed wins. I was looking at the Midwest saying, God, I can never remember a time where, you know, the seed numbers for the Sweet 16 added up to 33, which it does this year. In the Midwest, you know, the one is gone and all that. So you've got whatever it is, 8, the 11, the 10, all that stuff. And it added up to 33 and the 2, which is Houston. And then, you know, a researcher said, no, it's actually happened twice before. One of which I played in my senior year in college,
yeah.
the regional that we won. The East region in 1986 had us as a 1, Duke as a 1, Navy as a 7 with David Robinson, DePaul as a 12 with Rod Strickland, and Cleveland State as a 14. And then it happened again in 2011 when VCU went to the Final Four out of that bracket. It was called the Southwest. Why they keep changing the names of these things, I'll never know. But it was Kansas, Florida State as a 10. VCU is an 11 and Richmond is a 12. Kansas was the 1 and VCU beat them in the Elite Eight. So it has happened before. The one thing that is kind of skewing, at least in my view, the idea that we've had this chaotic, you know, little guy beating the big guy thing is of the 9 double digit seed teams that have won games, 5 of them are Power 5 teams. Mm-hmm. And look, I mean, I don't think that you know, it's so that UCLA and Syracuse and you know, Maryland and Rutgers are Cinderella. I just don't see the world that way. Now, what I do see is that Oral Roberts, Abilene Christian, and Ohio are, but the rest of them are not. And so, you know, to me, it just depends on how people want to define chaos. Like, yeah, you know, I don't know if you guys agree with that, but that's sort of the way I look at it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'll say this. The thing that surprised me the most about this tournament is how wrong we all were about the Pac-12 versus the Big Ten, right? Like, I went into this, and one of the last games I watched was Illinois beating Ohio State in that Big Ten championship. I was like, okay, I'm going with the Illini. I really think they're going to win it all. And I don't know, maybe we just should have – We laugh so much at you know, Bill Walton's so funny on air. Maybe we just didn't take him serious. But he was telling us the Pac-12 is really good. Like, how did we miss this?
Well, we didn't miss it because I think like over the years, the Pac-12 hasn't performed as well,
right,
in the tournament, and you had people say, you know, but the people who said that the league wasn't any good then were wrong. Like, mm-hmm. That's not dispositive of the issue of whether the league is good or not. And like, you know, I've been having this argument with a few people today. Like, look, the Big Ten has underperformed in the tournament thus far, but that doesn't mean that Oregon State is better than Illinois. Like, they, mm-hmm. just because you get beat in the tournament doesn't mean that everything you did before was crap. And I'm not saying you're saying that, but some others are.
Yep.
Like, Io DeSumo had a bad game. What, he's not a good player anymore? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't look at because Syracuse beat San Diego State in West Virginia, all of a sudden, you know, the ACC is a better league. It's not. And we saw what happened in the regular season, and that was very real data. And all the same analytics that said Loyola was a good team, because we can't have it both ways.
Right,
we can't
right.
say that the analytics said Loyola was really good and they were underseeded, and then say, but the analytics don't apply to the Big Ten, which was really good, and some of them lost. Because, you know, Loyola lost to Wisconsin during the regular season. What, that doesn't count? And mm-hmm. and Ohio State beat UCLA during the regular season. That doesn't count. It just doesn't work that way. Like, they've under – it's kind of like Tiger Woods going into the Masters and not playing well. But see, you know, he's not any good. Like, no, it doesn't work that way.
We're talking to Jay Billis, who has been covering college basketball for most of his adult life after he got done with a good playing career. You know, I've never asked you this. Like I said, you and I are the same age. I know you went to high school in Rolling Hills. How did Duke get you? Because back then they weren't Duke yet, right? Coach K had just started, but they didn't have, like, he hadn't been Final Four Coach K yet, right?
Yeah, it was just an extraordinary large bag of money they left at my door.
Excellent.
No, no, it was. I grew up in Rolling Hills, so I went to Rolling Hills High School, which is called Peninsula. In fact, that was about 500 yards from where Tiger Woods had his accident in Rolling Hills.
Wow.
I grew up right there. So when I was coming out of high school, I didn't have a great relationship with my high school coach. None of the players on the team did. So I knew that when I went to college, that was the only time I was going to get to choose who I played for. So I was choosing a coach, not a school. And I came down to Coach K, Lute Olson, who was at Iowa at the time, Ted Owens at Kansas, and Jim Boeheim at Syracuse. And I just liked Coach K the best, honestly. And so it came down to I wanted to play for him. And he just happened to be at Duke. If he were at Syracuse, I would have gone to Syracuse. If he were at Iowa, I would have gone to Iowa. That's kind of the way it went.
So I've never, like, I'm jealous of you for a lot of reasons, but I've never been more jealous than when I was watching you on Dan Patrick and found out that you got to go on The White Shadow, which was my favorite show of all time when I was in high school. Ramona, are you too young to remember The White Shadow?
I have heard of it, but I don't remember it as fondly as you do.
So Jay.
Yeah, we'll be talking about rotary phones next and
garage door openers. Yeah.
No,
oh, wow. I didn't know you're that old. That's those things are museum pieces now. That's the way we communicated back in the day.
Okay, so Jay, the question is, was that a big deal at the time? I mean, obviously you were a popular kid on campus, but I would think that there weren't 500 channels in whenever that was, 1980 or whenever that was. So I would imagine
the whole school was watching it. Oh yeah.
So did it go right to your head?
No, it was my whole high school team was on it. My whole high school basketball team played the opposing team to Carver High School. And I just happened to get picked to be like the lead guy in getting yelled at by the coach and all that. And I was referred to as the team's best player and all that stuff. So that was a fun thing. One of my high school teammates, his father was the technical consultant for the show. So they put us on it and we had no idea. Like when I watched that show, all my friends, we thought that all the players on that show were like our age, like 16, 17 years old. They were all in their 30s.
Right.
They were all actors. And so we were like shocked going, wait a minute, they're smoking it during breaks. Like, what is this? So we had no idea how that whole, and none of them, only one of them could play. The rest of them were just actors and couldn't play dead.
Right.
And so, like, all the different scenes and things they had to do to make it look like they were competent were all phony, and we were so disillusioned by that.
Yeah, I bet. We're talking to the great Jay Billis. Okay, so, Jay, we've got, like, we'll have a Sweet 16 by the end of the day today. Is Gonzaga beatable, in your opinion? They look pretty good again today against Oklahoma. Do you think there's a wide-open sense to the tournament? Or, in your mind, is Gonzaga clearly head and shoulders above everybody else?
Well, I think Gonzaga is the best team, and I've thought that for most of the year. I thought early on it was Gonzaga and Baylor. Both of them are beatable, and they were supposed to play each other early in the season. That would have, you know, if Baylor wins it, we wouldn't have an undefeated team. But I thought that Illinois and Michigan had kind of caught up to those two. You know, obviously Illinois is gone now, but really the bracket in the West is completely open now for Gonzaga. I thought the two biggest threats to Gonzaga were Oregon and USC. Only one of them will get to Gonzaga.
They'll play each other if USC wins
another.
Today. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Oregon would give me a little bit of pause, but you're going to play somebody really good in the Elite Eight. You're not going to like sail to the Final Four without playing anybody. Well, maybe somebody will in the Midwest now, but Gonzaga is the best team, but can they be beaten? Of course they can be beaten.
Jay, you know, I've been watching the tournament as a scouting for next year too, right? We always have to start looking at the guys who are going to be in this year's draft, and you know, Evan Mobley's been really impressive. I was watching Cade Cunningham the other day. Who in this draft do you think ends up being, you know, besides, you know, the typical guys that we've heard as top five picks? Who's made their stock rise in this tournament as a maybe a late first rounder who's now played his way into a conversation as a lottery pick? Or
I don't know about who's really risen that much, because mm-hmm. you know, some of the players that have done really well were going to be drafted high anyway, and as you know better than I do, Ramona, like most of these players, you know, nobody's a secret to the NBA. You know, they scout these players in high school. I've seen the overwhelming majority of them in high school. And some of the players that are really good in college aren't going to translate quite as well into the pros, like Luka Garza of Iowa. He's a great college player. He's actually a far superior offensive threat to Tyler Hansbrough, but Hansbrough was probably more athletic than Garza, but he doesn't translate to the NBA game as well because he's not as mobile, doesn't get up and down a court as well. And guarding pick and roll in the NBA is going to be a big problem for him. That's a very real thing that he's got to deal with. I think McKinley Wright at Colorado, people are going to take a harder look at. I'm really impressed with Jason Preston from Ohio. that beat Virginia. He's really good. And I think Chris Duarte at Oregon is a really good player that I think is going to be a good pro. You know, we've seen that, you know, Dylan Brooks was the same. You know, he had a great career at Oregon and went into the NBA. He's done very well. I think Chris Duarte is similar in that. And then the other, I think, I think Jeremiah Robinson Earl at Villanova is very much like Sadiq Bey was when he came out of Villanova, except he's better guarding. He's a better defensive player. He's the best pick and roll defensive big guy I've seen. He's 6'9". He's more of a four man, like a hybrid four. And he's not it's not like he's this great offensive shooter. He's not an unbelievable shooter, but he's a really good offensive player. But defensively, like, he doesn't get a lot of steals or blocks because he doesn't have to. He's like a cornerback that nobody will throw toward. He's so good in that stuff. He gets, you know, he defends before he has to make a play like that.
Jay, we really appreciate you doing this. We know you get a ton of requests to do stuff like this, especially during the tournament. Thanks for making time for us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks,
see
Jay.
You. There's the great Jay Billis.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Ramona Shelburne is in for Mace. We got Game of Games coming up later this hour. It's Ramona's game today. You know how those go. Could be great. Could be a dumpster fire. That's coming up for you.
I think it's going to be great. I do. It's
good.
We're playing a little alumni game today.
Okay, so that's it. That's in about 20 minutes. I want to circle back to the Lakers, which is where we started the show. We've done a lot about Elgin Baylor today, who passed away at the age of 86. If you missed it, Jerry West was on with us in the 2 o'clock hour. Jorge, is that up on the podcast yet?
Or yes,
will
it is.
Be
it's
shortly?
Up
it's up on the podcast already. So if you want to check the Mason in Ireland podcast, you could hear Jerry, who I thought was very heartfelt. And you could tell is having a very emotional day talking about the great Elgin Baylor. And Ramona, I want to ask you this because, as you know, I do the games and I'm, I'm an avid Laker fan and I kind of look at the glass half full. Even though LeBron has an injury that could have him miss a few weeks here, and there is no indication that Anthony Davis is going to be back anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Realistically, neither one of those guys for at least the rest of this month and probably well into next month. I still think if those two come back, that the Lakers are fine. If they get anywhere into the top six in the West, they'll run through the West in the playoffs. But you tend to look at these things a little more objectively than I do. What's a realistic expectation for this Laker team? Let's say they got to play the next 10 games without LeBron and AD. What's a realistic expectation, in your opinion?
I think they have got to, if they play the next 10, I think they go 3-7, 4-6. I mean, like, if they can just stay close to 500, that's a win, because they got a tough schedule coming up. And, you know, I what's going to be hard for them is, I don't know who you want to come back first, right? Like, both of those injuries are the type of injuries you don't want to come back too soon from. You don't want to take a chance and rush back because, you're falling out of the, you know, I mean, once they start to get close to that sixth spot in the West, it's going to get a little dicey. But let me look at this. Let me look at the current standings. Right, let's see how big of a cushion.
And I want to explain to people why that sixth spot that you mentioned is significant. This year, there's a play-in tournament. So the first six teams get in automatically. If you finish 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th, you go to a play-in tournament over the last week of the season. And Ramona, let's not kid ourselves. Yeah. Having a week off at the end of May or in the middle of May would be helpful. So the Lakers' last regular season game is in New Orleans on May 16th, which is a Sunday. If they finish in one of the first six spots, they basically buy themselves a week off. If they have to go right to the play-in tournament, then it's no downtime at all. And then that'll determine whether they'll play out of the seventh or the eighth spot. Now, they're in the three.
Yeah. But look at this, okay? They're three games out of first, which is, you know, Utah's kind of fallen off a little bit after after they had such a hard, they're just 5-5 in their last 10 games, okay? The Suns are in the number two spot, but they're just one game ahead of the Lakers. And they played the other night, and it was close.
Played last night.
Yeah. I mean, it was real close. All the days blend together to me now, John. I have no idea. What day?
Yeah, last night, not so close.
But yeah, they didn't have either of the guys, okay? So, but they're three games back of the Jazz, but they're only 2.5 games up on Portland, who's sitting in that sixth spot right now. They're four games up on the Spurs, who are currently seventh. Okay, so that's a four-game cushion to work with. I don't know. Dallas is right behind San Antonio. I think Dallas is going to keep getting better. The Spurs, I don't know. I think they stay about the same time, the same way. The Warriors, I think they stay about in the same spot. They're in the eight. They're in the ninth spot, and they have a pretty significant cushion over there. Six games up on the Warriors, and then Memphis right now is 10th. New Orleans on the outside looking in. I would say that's the only team on the outside looking in that's quote unquote trying to win this year. New Orleans would like to make into that play-in tournament. They don't want to.
Well, you know, the Lakers have defeated New Orleans seven games in a row, and tomorrow night that's likely to end. I'm not saying it's going to for sure, but New Orleans is at full strength, and the Lakers are going to be missing three starters. So, and it's in New Orleans.
Yeah. So four-game cushion on that seven spot. That's not. They can hold on. They can hold on for that if it's really just, you know, 3-4 weeks here. You can hold on to that. But if it goes beyond a month, John, that's when I think things get a little dicey.
Well, so right now we are sitting in the fourth week in March.
Okay.
So you've got this week you get three more games, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Cleveland, then three games next week. So basically the entire month of April and the first 2.5 weeks of May is what they have to get through. So if you could somehow get AD and LeBron back mid-April, like let's say they play the Celtics on April 15th, that'd be a good night for those guys to come back. That would leave 18 games left where they could kind of protect the seed, which I think would be good. Now, I don't know if April 15th is realistic or unrealistic for those guys to come back. For LeBron, it sounds like we had Dr. Clapper on earlier. It sounds like he said this injury is not days, it's weeks. So that would only be 2.5 weeks. So chances are LeBron's going to take a little longer than that.
Yeah, because you have to play yourself. Now, what's amazing about LeBron is you always have to play yourself back into shape. When you have a lower body injury, you can only do so much. You can go on you can swim, you can do the Alter G, you can lift upper body. But in terms of keeping that cardiovascular, level up and playing back into shape, you probably need a week or so.
So in 2 weeks, you know, they're averaging three or four games a week.
Okay.
In 2 weeks, starting on April 4th, listen to this schedule. Clippers, Raptors, Heat, Nets, all in the same week. So those are four potential playoff teams right there.
Yeah. And I think, well, the Raptors are an interesting team. I think I'm starting to be persuaded that they're going to trade Kyle Lowry. I think that's the big domino that everybody's wondering about. And it, you know, looks like the Heat are really making a big play for him.
Where do you think they would trade him to?
Yeah, I think Miami. I think that's a Miami, Philadelphia are the teams you hear mentioned.
Not the Clippers.
I'm sure they're trying, but what do they have? I mean, he makes a lot of money.
They kind of exhausted all their trade assets.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money. And who would you put in there? Lou Williams? I mean, it's not even close to enough money. You have to get to $30 million. So you'd have to put somebody pretty valuable in that trade or somebody who makes a lot of money. I guess they could put Marcus Morris in there. That would, I guess, do it. But why would Toronto do that? You know, I mean, there's much better options for Toronto than what the Clippers could offer, unless the Clippers get real creative and do some kind of three or four way deal, which is always hard to execute. But Toronto's in an interesting spot because they're one of the teams that got hit really hard by COVID. They've lost almost the most amount of games, I think, from one of the data thing of any team in the NBA to players out with COVID. And they're all back now. They've gotten through it, but they're in danger right now of going in as a real low seed. They have a losing record right now. And Kyle Lowry's a guy who he says he wants to retire as a Raptor. But that could just be at the end of his career. He's a guy that could get something for now.
Thursday will be interesting because Thursday is the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Is there another all-star name besides Lowry you think could move?
Well, I mean, I think Orlando's a team that people are looking at. Evan Fournier, does that excite you? Aaron Gordon, I think he'll move. And those are moves that I think could affect the standings because I've heard some names on Aaron Gordon, like, you know, Denver or Minnesota, Portland. Those are teams that could acquire him and he would help, I think. All-star, Atlanta's interesting. They're actually playing really well right now. They'd be in the playoffs. I think they're a 4 or 5 seed right now. They're playing well, but they've got a decision to make about John Collins. He's going to be a restricted free agent, and people think he'll really get paid. Then there's Bogdanovich, who they signed to a lot of money over the offseason, who he missed a lot of games with an injury, and he's sort of seen his minutes go away. Kevin Harder, do you mind, you know, the guy who's a really good shooter? He's taken a lot of his minutes, so Atlanta has to think, do we want to hold on to Bogdanovich, paying him all this money if he's not starting? So I think he's a guy that can move. I mean, are these all-stars? No, but could they make a difference for somebody? Like if you're the Lakers and you're looking to shore up your shooting, your outside shooting, do you go after a guy like Bogdanovich, who they had interest in as a restricted free agent last year? I know they had conversations with Sacramento last year about him. I mean, there's some interesting moves out there that, that could happen. The guys you would normally think would be traded, the veterans on bad teams. There may not be quite as many of those now that PJ Tucker's moved.
Huh. All right. So Thursday will be fun. It's Lakers Sixers at Staples Center, and it's the trade deadline. So a lot to talk about between now and then. Coming up next, Ramona, if one of your exes was okay, living their best life,
mm-hmm,
would you be happy for him or a little bit bitter?
Mm.
There's a sports angle to this, and we'll tell you what it is next. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Ramona, so we all know that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. And by the way, Game of Games is coming up next. It's Ramona's game, so stay tuned for that. But Tom Brady won the Super Bowl after the Patriots kind of gave up on him. You know, they needed a divorce. Maybe Brady wanted to go, but the Patriots didn't bend over backwards to re-sign him. I think Robert Kraft wanted to keep him, but Bill Belichick didn't. So he just took his ball and went to Tampa. So Robert Kraft has never really said anything about that until yesterday. He was talking to Sports Illustrated, and he said this about Tom Brady. Quote, "I was happy for him. He's a great guy, and he gave us 20 wonderful years. I wasn't happy to see him leave, but we gave him that opportunity. And I want to say, if we're not going to win and someone's going to do it, I'm happy for him. He deserves it." End quote. Ramona, do you believe Kraft? Do you think Kraft was happy that Brady won the Super Bowl?
I do, actually. And you know what? That is, there's something that I've learned in my career, which is you never want to have, there's a long career. And if you act badly after a breakup, after somebody leaves in free agency, or after, even after you get fired. I mean, even after, you know, I'll never forget Mike Brown got fired. Remember, didn't he take his kids to McDonald's and people were like filming him on social media, right? And he was like nice as couldn't be. Cool guy, nice guy. Like, you'd think like he'd be mad. He only got 5 games that year to coach him, right? And, you know, just barely got a chance to do his thing. Nope, he was just very classy and polite. That is how you should act. Even if you, and I think even in, you know, in his hard hearts, he's probably really disappointed, of course. But for, you know, Robert Kraft, like, he fought that battle for so long to try to keep Brady and to, you know, the Belichick Brady thing. He fought that so long. It just wasn't going to work anymore. They were both miserable. It was time for them to part ways. I think he's really happy for Tom. And I think it makes the Patriots look classy. And that goes around down the line when the next free agent guy is available.
You know, it's interesting. Mike Greenberg read that quote this morning on Get Up. And everybody that was on the show, Dominique Foxworth was on the show. Damian Woody was on the show. Kimberly Martin was on the show. Yep. So he had a panel of 3 football people. And all 3 people told Greeny, there's no way they believe Kraft. That the last thing you want to see is if you break up with somebody, that they're living their best life on Instagram because it makes you look less than. I think that's how Mason would interpret it. I wish I was here because he'd ask it. But if Mason was with somebody and then that person broke up with them and then that person went on to like win whatever the pinnacle was, Mason's so competitive, he would just be like miserable. I'm actually more like you.
I've learned
that I don't have enough headspace to wish ill on anybody.
Yeah, me too.
If I leave a place, I don't, and even if I thought I was a key person there, that did a really good job for him and that I deserved better, and I'm sure Brady thought all those things, I wouldn't root against the next guy. I think it's bad karma.
Me too. And I think if you told me this, I'm stealing your line. Play your own ball. You know?
Yeah.
Play your own ball. Like, it's like, it's your, like, there's people that have, I used to get into like these little jealousies and things like that.
By the way, you know who I stole that from?
Who?
Of all people? Fred Rogan.
Really?
I was talking to him about careers once. And look, Fred said to me, he goes, "Let me give you some advice that somebody gave me once."
Yeah.
He said, "Your career is like golf. Worry about your own ball. Don't worry about anybody else's ball." He goes, "Play your ball, keep it in the fairway, make sure you're doing the right thing, and everything will work out."
That's right.
He goes, "You don't have to wish that someone else will hit it out of bounds." He goes,
That's right.
It's just not a good use of your time.
I agree with you. And I agree with that. It's good karma. It's the way it should be. Plus, I also think, and I'll say this, okay? Why do you this, and we'll bring it back to a Lakers conversation, okay? One of the things when Dwight Howard left town the first time, there was a lot of like negative stuff that came out. And I remember, I mean,
he didn't want to play with Kobe.
He didn't want to play with Kobe, but there was a lot of negative stuff. Like later on, some sort of negative articles were written and you could tell that people sort of vented about him, right? Like people in the organization didn't like Dwight, and there wasn't just the Kobe stuff. There was other things. There was a couple really mean-spirited articles. And I remember people, there was some people in the organization who were like, okay, you know, like, okay, they looked the other way when those came out. And there was others who were really upset because the Lakers have this philosophy of like, we don't do that. We don't trash people after they leave. Like, you got to be nice, you know? And I always remember, didn't Phil Jackson tweet something nice to Dwight after he left, you know? And I think Jeannie tweeted something nice, you know? And
well,
and
remember, Phil wasn't the coach when Dwight was here.
Yeah, but he was kind of recruiting him too, remember? Right. Like, there was a whole, and like even a couple years ago, Magic left, and you never heard a word from Jeannie Buss or from Rob Pelinka. They only said nice things about Magic afterwards. And you know what? All is forgiven. Like, they're back to, you know, they're friends again, like everything. And I think that's just a good way of doing business, like, to just not make enemies, even if you're mad at somebody, even if whatever, like, just get over it and move on. And I'll tell you what, it ends up coming back to you in a lot of different ways that you don't expect down the road.
Yeah, it is. I personally think that it's a waste of your energy.
Yep.
To wish ill on others.
Yeah. By the way, Kraft, it doesn't stick to Kraft, man. That's all Belichick's fault. So, like, right. he can wish Tom Brady.
Yeah,
well,
I
wanted to keep him.
Yeah, I genuinely think Kraft did want to keep Brady.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you, I do have a little petty jealousy about something. Okay. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
When I was graduating from Stanford, one of my teammates, started with one, and then it turned into two and three. They all got jobs at Google. And this is Google in 2001, John.
Oh.
Okay. And I remember they were like, you should come work for Google. And I was like, I'm not going to work for Google. Like, what do you do there? Like, you sell like ads for some search engine. Like, I was just like, not into it. I had this idealistic thing, like, I'm going to go be a writer and a journalist, or I was going to do Teach for America. All of those teammates, John, are very wealthy women these days.
I bet. Yeah, the road not taken. Oh. But it doesn't do any good for you
jealous.
To dwell on it. Yeah,
yeah,
but
I'm
you can be jealous.
Yeah,
you can be jealous. All right, coming up next, you can redeem yourself next, Ramona.
Okay. Okay.
They're not hosting Game of Games, but you are.
Yeah.
And that's coming.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Up next. All right, it is time for Game of Games. Game of Games is sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They're my plumber, and they want to be yours too. Call 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. Now, Lindsay, I do not have the Game of Games standings. Mason normally keeps those. You don't have them, do you?
I don't have them, but I'm pretty sure me and you are right up there for
yeah,
the top.
Yeah, you
for
have seven, I have five, and Ramona has two. Jorge, I think you got a couple, right?
I got one.
Okay, so Ramona's game today, and anytime we let Ramona pick the game, it is either excellent or it's just a complete train wreck. Ramona, what is your prediction for today?
I think today is going to be excellent, John. I'm very confident in this game.
I like it.
Yeah, very confident. It's just about, apparently last time I didn't deliver the game very well. And I got criticized. Some guy on Twitter wrote in saying it was Lindsay and Mason's fault for not making me better at administering the game. So let's see if I do better
at
that.
How you do today.
Okay. All right. So we're going to play a little alumni game with some of the schools that won their opening NCAA tournament round games. Okay.
Got
so, I didn't know.
We don't have
today.
To buzz in, right? It's
yeah, you don't have to buzz
choice.
In. Okay. We got seven questions. It's going to be pretty quick. You know, sometimes I take too long, so we're going to try not to. So I'll tell you the celebrity, and then I'm going to give you four choices of which school they went to. Okay. All right. We'll go around. We'll start John, then Lindsay, then Jorge. Ready?
Okay.
Country music artist Ronnie Dunn from Brooks and Dunn graduated from this school in 1991. Is it Oral Roberts, Florida State, Creighton, or Abilene Christian? John, you're up first.
What was the first one?
Oral Roberts, Florida State, Creighton, or Abilene Christian?
I'll go Oral Roberts.
All right. Lindsay?
Well, that's what I was going to go with, but to be different than John, I'll go Abilene Christian.
Okay, Jorge?
I'll go C, Creighton.
All right. The answer is Abilene Christian.
Lindsay.
Lindsay, you're on the board. All right. Okay. This one you should get. Okay.
Okay.
Former NBA shooting guard Kyle Korver. Did he go to Iowa, Oral Roberts, Creighton, or Gonzaga?
That's Jorge. You're first.
No, Lindsay's first.
Okay.
Lindsay.
I'm going to guess that he went to Creighton.
Okay. Jorge?
I'll go with C.
What school?
I don't know. I forgot the list.
Okay.
Yeah, Ramona, you got to let him go A, B, C, D. That's his only shot.
Okay, sure.
Which one was C?
C was Creighton. Okay. And John?
Jorge, that's unbelievable because I know all these because I'm a play-by-play guy.
I know.
Kyle Korver absolutely went to Creighton.
Yeah, I was like, you definitely should get this one.
You know, Kyle Korver's from Southern California.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. That was your easy one. Okay.
All right, Lindsay has all two, right. And Jorge and I have one.
All right. Okay. Colleen Williams, you know, the longtime anchor at KNBC in LA. Did she go to UCLA, USC, Creighton, or Illinois Chicago? Jorge.
Illinois.
Okay. John?
I thought I knew this. Could you do two in a row though? I'm gonna guess Creighton.
Okay, Lindsay?
John sounds like he knows what he's talking about, so I'm going to go with Creighton, too.
You're right. It's Creighton.
Yeah, I knew she was from Nebraska.
Yeah, that was good. Okay. All right, number four here. Chip and Joanna Gaines from the home improvement personalities. They do the fixer-upper thing. Okay. Did they go to Abilene Christian, Baylor, Houston, or Alabama? This one is John.
Baylor?
Okay. Lindsay?
I'm going to go with, I was going to say Baylor, but you said Texas was one of the choices?
Abilene Christian, Baylor, Houston, or Alabama?
I'll go with Houston.
All right. Jorge?
I'll go with Alabama.
If I'm wrong about this, Ramona, that show is a complete fraud. The whole show is shot in Waco.
You're right. They went to Baylor.
Yeah, like that would be if they were anywhere, but they like they're
don't
all
don't overthink it.
We're
don't
experts in Waco. It. We know everything Waco. Yeah, if they didn't go totally. To Baylor, that show's a lie.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Lindsay 3, John 3, Jorge 1.
All right. Matt Lauer. Okay, you remember the former host of the Today Show? Mm-hmm. Did he go to Syracuse, Ohio University, USC, or Illinois Chicago? This one is Jorge
turn.
Oh, Lindsay. Okay, Lindsay, you go first.
I'm going to guess USC.
Okay. Jorge?
Can you tell me the choices again?
Syracuse, Ohio University, USC, or Illinois Chicago?
I'll go Ohio.
Okay. John?
I should
Matt
know
Lauer.
I should know this. I'll guess Illinois Chicago.
Jorge is correct. He actually went to Ohio University.
Okay, how many are left, Ramon?
All right, we got two left. Right, two left.
Jorge, you need to run the table. It's Lindsay 3, John 3, Jorge 2.
All right. Scott Van Pelt, ESPN anchor. Did he go to Florida State, Maryland, Colorado, or Syracuse? This one is Jorge first.
I'll say Maryland.
All right. John?
He brags about it every night. Maryland.
Lindsay?
Well, if you guys say Maryland, I'm going to go Maryland.
No, don't help her out.
Okay. Jorge's out, and it's right. Down to me and Lindsay.
I think this is a hard one, okay? This is for all the marbles.
Okay.
Country music legend Willie Nelson. Did he go to Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, or Baylor? John's up first.
Kansas,
I'll repeat again.
Give me the choice.
Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, or Baylor. That's country music legend Willie Nelson.
I'll go Oklahoma.
Lindsay?
Well, I'm going to go Baylor.
Lindsay is the winner! Oh, he went to Baylor!
Well done!
Woo!
Well done. Wow.
I didn't even think he went to college.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, Willie Nelson owns a ranch.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Pertinellis, and they have a rule when you play golf there. So I know you guys don't play a lot of golf, but think about this if you did.
Mm-hmm.
They have a 7-step rule. So wherever you hit your ball, like if you're behind a tree, if you're like next to the water or whatever, you get 7 steps to try and get out of trouble.
Ah.
So whenever you see people playing golf there, you see them taking giant leaps because they can get, you know, if you can get far enough over out of trouble with your seven steps. So, I'd be a really good golfer if I could take seven steps.
I feel like that also factors in that there's probably some deep rough growing on
the Pertinellas.
Yeah. And maybe it makes you hit your ball a little funny, right? What do you
think? The other thing is, apparently what Willie does on a fairly regular basis is he spends a lot of time in Hawaii with ex-NBA coach Don Nelson.
Yeah.
And they regularly get stoned together.
That's what I'm saying. The deep rough on the golf course. You see what I'm saying? They're growing some different kinds of, you know, grass out there. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I've been smoking some pot, actually.
That's so good. Okay. UCLA's going to win. Are you going to celebrate? Looks like they're pulling through.
No, well, there's still 9 minutes left. It's too early to call it. But I am going to watch the end of this game, and then I'm going to do my homework for the Lakers-Pelicans game, and then I'm going to watch USC because they come on at 6:40. USC Kansas. So it'd be pretty cool if USC and UCLA both made it to the Sweet 16. I think that's only happened one time before.
And LA basketball needs to come back. Like, I need LA basketball to be good again. It's been too long since we've had great programs here in LA at the same time. And like back in the days of the Bruins, Harold Miner playing for USC. Like, we need that. Come on. Let's go. Let's go, Trojans. Let's go, Bruins.
Okay, so the injury report is out. Tomorrow night, the Lakers game notes just came out, which includes the injury report.
Okay.
So it's just LeBron, AD, and Jared Dudley, which means I don't know if Marc Gasol is going to play because he wasn't on the injury report yesterday. They said he has to ramp up for conditioning, but it is a possibility. Interestingly, the Lakers have kind of had the Pelicans' number. They've won 7 games in a row against New Orleans. But you would think New Orleans tomorrow has the edge. New Orleans has Zion, Brandon Ingram. I don't know if Lonzo's going to play. Lonzo missed their last game with a hip flexor.
Right. He's also on the trading block. So,
But I don't think they should trade him.
I don't either. He's playing great.
I know. He's playing like the best basketball of his career.
He's playing great. And I know there's a lot of interest, like Denver and Chicago. But I'd hold on to him, man. He looks pretty good.
I like Lonzo. I've always been a fan of his. Okay, Momo, you're back here tomorrow.
How was my game?
Your game was excellent. You get an A.
Yes!
For your game.
Excellent.
That was very good. Tomorrow, it's Michael's game. Michael Thompson is going to do a game for us tomorrow, leading up to Lakers-Pelicans. Sedano, LZ, and Cap next, 710 ESPN.